I am so thrilled to be able to bring you this sermon today. Thank you for joining me. This is Mike Adams. And today we're going to break the spell, the sorcerer's spell, over economics, money, finance, what are assets, what is debt, and so on. Because this is one of many sermons I'll be sharing with you about what I call God's economy. And God's economy is very different from man's economy. And when I say man, I mean mankind, the synthetic world created by man, often in contradiction to the principles of God. For example, one of the most powerful realizations that we can come to is understanding that man's economy is based on scarcity of resources, and it's based on who loses versus who wins. So one person takes resources, another person loses those resources. Scarcity is built into the system, and you're taught that you can never have enough, and you can spend your entire life trying to accumulate or achieve instruments that are called assets, but are really actually representations of debt. Whereas in God's economy, it's based on limitless abundance rather than artificial scarcity. And by limitless abundance, let me give you an example. If you want to create medicine and you want to create it for virtually free, what can you do? Well, one simple thing is you can sprout seeds. You can sprout broccoli seeds, for example. And broccoli seeds will, by the miracles of Mother Nature granted by God, they will synthesize a medicinal molecule called sulforaphane, which is anti-cancer, it's neuroprotective, it's cardioprotective. It's one of the most amazing nutrients found in foods and in sprouts. And God gives it to you for free. And God gives it in unlimited abundance. It's not like there is a deposit of sulforaphane somewhere in the world that you have to mine out of the ground, and countries are fighting over their territory for the sulforaphane mines. And there's wars over the access to the sulforaphane mines, and then there's legal battles involved in who owns the land of the sulforaphane mines. No, what God says is you can all have sulforaphane. All you have to do is add water to seeds, and we, Mother Nature and God, we will create it for you in unlimited quantities, as much as you want, as often as you want. You will have unlimited abundance. You can grow your own medicine. Or, I mean, you can acquire it. You can also purchase it at a grocery store if you want to purchase broccoli, or you can purchase broccoli sprouts, or you can purchase superfoods or supplements with broccoli sprouts. I mean, yes, but you can also grow it for free. So that's just one example. But I'm here to tell you that most of the education or the programming that we have been subjected to our entire lives, especially those of you who have been in business or business schools, you have an MBA or you have an accounting degree, you have been subjected to an artificial terminology, an artificial reality where you think dollars are assets. But what we know, those of us who are rooted in truth and righteousness, we know that dollars are created as debt instruments. The moment any dollar is created, well, it's created by the Federal Reserve, essentially, and then loaned to the Treasury in exchange for IOUs. In other words, dollars are debt from the moment they are created. The Treasury of the United States government owes those dollars to a private globalist banking cartel known as the Federal Reserve. It is created in debt. And then when you acquire dollars and you think, oh, I'm building assets, and you deposit dollars in the bank, and you check your bank account login, and you look at the numbers on the screen, whoopee, I've got more dollars. The dollars are rolling in, and you think you're rich. No, all those dollars represent debt. That's no wealth at all. And this brings us to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the wisdom of King Solomon, who says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. You see? And that's actually the only verse I need to cite today. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Or you could say in plural, the blessings of the Lord, because there are many, many blessings. But one of them is to simply have the favor of the Lord. And that is earned through action. It's earned through integrity. It's earned through many, many ways. Many of them are talked about in Proverbs. But one of those is giving to others and not being someone who blocks wealth or material goods, but rather someone who distributes them and helps others in need and becomes a conduit of the movement of resources through your hands into the hands of others who are aided by that effort. And I've talked about that before a little bit in the previous sermon, by the way, and I will talk about that again. But understand, most importantly, what man's economy defines as assets are not assets in the eyes of the Lord. You can acquire all kinds of dollars, and you can acquire all kinds of material goods that you have purchased with those dollars, which are debt instruments. And then you can even leverage those dollars, and you can make a down payment on something where you have more debt, like a car. So you walk in with debt instruments, dollars, to make a down payment, to have even more debt, to make even more payments on a car that's losing value from the moment that you, quote, purchase it. And all you've done here is you've engaged in man's economy of a debt rat race, and you have done nothing good in the eyes of the Lord in those transactions. Now, if you were to stop and assist somebody who needed help, somebody's got a flat tire on the side of the road, and if you can safely stop and help them, or one time I had, there was a truck, like a lowrider white pickup truck full of like Mexican guys who were, I saw them at a gas station right next to an air pump, and they had a flat tire. And the air pump clearly didn't work. So I got out of my vehicle and I said, told him, do you need some help? I've got an air pump, because I carry a big battery powered inflation pump with me in my vehicle at all times. And I think I said in Espanol, necesita ayuda. And they were really, really shocked and surprised. Like, here's this kind of cowboy looking white guy asking us if we need help. Like, in their world, that has perhaps not happened very frequently. I don't know. And they said, sí. And so I brought over the pump. How do you say that in Spanish? La bomba aire, the air pump for the car tires. I didn't remember how to say car tires. I haven't used Spanish enough recently. But I brought it over and connected the pump. And wouldn't you know it, it did not work. It did not work because that tire in their truck had a valve stem problem. And so we did not get their tire inflated. However, the intention was to help these people get their tire inflated and get them back on the road. And they saw the intention. And so something happened there. Even though their tire was not inflated, relations between, you know, a white guy like myself, a white Texan, well, technically I'm Afro-Irish Native American, but I look white. So, you know, a white Texan, the relations with Spanish-speaking, you know, Hispanic people, that relationship got inflated or improved, even though the tire did not get inflated. So, you know, through God's ways, sometimes you are fixing a problem that's different from the one that you see right in front of you. You know, on that day, I'm sure those young men went home to their families or their wives and said, you know, I got this crazy story. This white guy just stopped and wanted to help us. And they're like, no way. You know, so who knows? But that's the point, is now that earns you God's favor. That is currency in the eyes of God. But just buying a new truck and using instruments of debt in order to acquire material wealth, that earns you nothing in God's eyes. Now, this kind of transactional sorcery gets even crazier when you think about purchasing toxic pharmaceutical medicines using dollar debt instruments, which are also counterfeit money. It's not real money because it doesn't hold value. It's counterfeit because the government is printing it constantly. And did you know that the United States of America right now has just crossed the threshold of $35 trillion in national debt? And if you include the unfunded liabilities that it owes to the people over time, that number becomes nearly $200 trillion, completely unpayable, will never be paid. which means the currency will eventually collapse. It means this whole debt-based system, or man's economy, is an economy rooted in fraud, and it is an economy that will end in catastrophic collapse. But even before the collapse, a lot of people, they want to go to a pharmacy and purchase toxic prescription medications that harm them. And I'm not saying that all medications harm everybody all the time. I understand the need for insulin for those who are in advanced stage diabetes, for example. Or I understand the need for painkillers among veterans, for example, who've been wounded in war. Yes, there are cases where prescription medications serve a purpose. And there are also off-label medications, such as ivermectin, that I endorse and I routinely use myself because they're so effective. And by the way, ivermectin came from soil microbes. So the actual original invention of ivermectin is an expression of God's creation. It came from nature, not from man. And that's also a big difference. A lot of the synthetic man-made pharmaceuticals are incredibly toxic, but sometimes the pharmaceutical industry will copy or steal a molecule from nature, like they did with ivermectin, and then they will claim then it's a prescription medication that they invented, but actually God invented it. And that's one of the reasons ivermectin is so safe and so effective, because it actually came from nature. But anyway, the typical person today, they go to the pharmacy and they trade debt-based dollars for poison-based medicines. Think about how crazy that is. You drive up to a pharmacy, like, here, I'll trade you debt instruments for your poison instruments, and then I'll swallow the poison and get sicker. Because that's what happens to most people who take most of the pharmaceuticals. They get worse. If you take diabetes drugs, it doesn't solve diabetes. You have to stay on those drugs, and it has side effects. Or if you take, you know, cancer or chemotherapy, it's killing you. Muscles wasting away, hair falling out, losing weight, nauseated constantly, have no energy. And it's because it's poison. This is not a mystery. It's poison. So people will spend debt instruments to buy poison. Whereas if you shift over to God's economy and you use the example of, let's say, growing medicinal herbs or medicinal foods yourself, then all you have to expend is time and effort. And in return, you don't get poisons, you get blessings. The blessings of God that's mentioned in Proverbs 10, the blessings of God. And you can get them in unlimited quantities as long as you're willing to put in whatever required effort to plant them, to grow them, to harvest them, to cultivate. But you don't have to pay a royalty to God for the molecule that's in the food. For example, if you grow red grapes contain an amazing molecule called resveratrol. It's also found in the grape leaves, by the way. And resveratrol is produced by the grape plant in response to an attack by fungi. So when the grape plant is attacked by molds, fungi, or fungal spores, it produces resveratrol as a defensive mechanism, which is why if you spray grapes with man's fungicides, synthetic chemicals, you deprive the plant of its natural cycle of producing resveratrol. And that's why grapes that are treated with pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, they lack the nutritional density of grapes produced organically, or grapes that you produce yourself, which are a lot more nutritionally dense. But if you want to grow grapes, you can grow an unlimited quantity of grapes. You can graft the grapes, or you can clone the grapes, or whatever propagation method works best for your grapes. And you notice that when you graft a plant or clone a plant or harvest a seed and plant a seed, you don't have to pay royalties to God, do you? God doesn't send you a bill. Oh, intellectual property claims you're pirating our molecules known as resveratrol and proanthocyanidins, which are found in grape seeds, for example. You don't get a bill from God. God grants you these blessings for free and in unlimited quantities. And actually, the next verse from Proverbs 10, I think it's verse 23, also says, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not reading it right now, but it says that in addition to the blessing from God, also he does not give you sorrow with it. That's a great line. Because, you know, when you get a lot of dollars, counterfeit currency, debt instruments, what comes with the dollars that are rooted in man's economy? Sorrow. All kinds of sorrow. The more dollars you have, the more sorrow you get. And you're like, wait, what do you mean? I thought rich people were happy. Do you know a lot of rich people? Are any of them happy? No, they're medicated. That's what they are. So they're trading the fake dollars for the fake medicine, and they're on psychiatric drugs. That's not happiness. That's being numb to the world. And by the way, the more dollars you have, the more you know you have to worry about everything. You have to worry about taxes. You have to worry about asset protection. You know, how do I keep the dollars? How do I make sure I don't lose them? The dollars are losing value. I need to trade the dollars for something else, like gold or what have you. You know, what can I do with these dollars before they lose value? Because food inflation is 50% a year right now. You get the idea. The more dollars you have, the more worries you have. But if you're growing God's molecules in plants and foods and superfoods or sprouts, you don't have all those same worries. You know, if you're growing a grape orchard in your backyard, you're not worried. Like, is the IRS going to come take my grapes? You know, probably not. Probably not, because they don't see those as assets. You see? And that's a key truth in all of this, which is that those who are rooted in man's economy, man's synthetic economy, are blind to God's economy. They don't recognize real assets. They don't see value in the things that actually have value. They assign value to synthetic things that are worthless because they're rooted in debt, or they're rooted in disease or poisons and things that you can't take with you. But if we're going to use the word assets, we need to recognize that assets must be those things that you can take with you, things that God sees as having value. And that's not dollars, folks. That's not dollars. It's more like deeds, behavior, integrity. You earn that in your life day by day with the decisions that you make. And God grants you those assets through his favor. There is no wealth other than the blessing of God. Everything else is illusion. Now, in order to understand God's economy in more depth, we also have to look at the fraud of the traditional financial and investment system that promises you returns over time, but actually deceives you into taking less money than what you put in. So, for example, if you go to a traditional beast system bank, you know, every regular bank in America, and you give them, let's say $100,000 in a CD, a certificate of deposit, and they say, well, we'll pay you something, let's just say it's 5% return, which is actually higher than what it would be, but it's an easy number to work with. So they say, we'll pay you 5% annual return. So you turn over to them $100,000 in currency, which, remember, is not money. It's actually instruments of debt. And then in a year, they give you back $105,000 of the same currency. But after that year has gone by, what is that currency worth? It's actually lost more than 5% in purchasing power because, of course, money printing leads to inflation, and inflation is indicative of rising prices, and what you're paying at the grocery store is way more than 5% more each year. It's more like 25% more. And your insurance rates, health insurance, home insurance, car insurance, business insurance, you know, what have you, liability insurance, it's going up 20, 25 or more percent every single year. So you gave the bank $100,000. What you got back was maybe only about $75,000 worth of purchasing power in last year's dollars. You see what I mean? So you actually loaned the bank your money, your currency, for a year, during which it got to use your money and you got back less money in terms of actual purchasing power. That's man's economy. It is a fraud. It's deceptive. And they tell you, oh, you're getting more money. Look, it's $105,000, but the value isn't there any longer. And so it's rooted in fraud. The same thing with the stock market. You might have a stock investment or a portfolio of stocks, and maybe you make 10% annual return on average, which is considered very good for being in the stock market, by the way. If you pull down 10%, that's considered doing great. So first of all, you have to pay taxes on the gain, the 10% gain. And depending on your tax bracket, that might mean that, you know, you have to pay a quarter of that or more, just depending on what capital gains taxes are and what your tax bracket is and your circumstances. But you don't even get to keep all that 10%. But even then, even if you did, let's say you invested $100,000 in stocks and you got back $110,000, well, it's only worth about $75,000 in the dollars that you put in because of inflation. So it's the same thing in the stock market. Now, those of you who are wise and informed, you know that there are elements created by God. The entire table of elements are different expressions of physical matter created by God when he created the cosmos and created the laws of physics. So gold and silver are expressions of God, literally, as is hydrogen, you know, as is lithium. I mean, all the elements are just different expressions of the cosmos and the creation of God. But gold and silver are on that list. They are elements like copper. And so many people understand that if you then exchange your dollars for things like gold and silver, that gold and silver cannot be counterfeited. Why? Because mankind cannot counterfeit the elements that were created by God. No one has yet been able to synthesize gold. And all the alchemists of old who tried to transmute lead into gold failed. Nobody turned lead into gold because, well, if they had, if there were a way to do that, then gold would be valueless because there would be so much gold in the world that the supply, you know, would be overwhelming. So the only gold or silver that exists is that which was created under the laws of physics, typically in the fusion process of the explosion of stars, and then deposited on the planets and within the planets, which is why you have to mine gold and silver. But all of this was created through the expression of God. And you know what's interesting about that is that over time throughout the cosmos, there is essentially an unlimited potential for more gold to be created through more cosmic events. Exploding stars, for example, will always generate more gold. And even one day, potentially, depending on the mass and the composition, our own sun may explode and produce gold. You know, not in our lifetimes, obviously. We're talking about a cosmic scale here, but this is a natural, normal process that was set into motion by the architect of our cosmos, who laid down the rules, the laws of physics and electromagnetism and atomic masses and matter transmutation through atomic fusion and fission. And that has been driven by God, and mankind hasn't been able to counterfeit that. Interesting, isn't it? Now, let's compare investing in a bank with a CD versus investing in growing food. So you know how with a bank, you hand over your debt instruments, your dollars, counterfeit money. You hand it over, the bank gets to use it for a year, and you get less back than what you put in terms of purchasing power. So you lose. No matter what, you lose. Well, what if instead, what if you put time and money and effort into growing food or growing medicine? Herbs, foods, superfoods, backyard gardening, sprouting, growing medicinal mushrooms even. Well, in that case, you get back more than what you put in. You put in some time and some effort, maybe a little bit of upfront cost. You know, you're going to need some garden tools. You might need some garden soil. You might need some seed packs and things like that. But those costs are relatively minimal compared to what you get out of it. Once you set that system in motion, which is rooted in nature and God's blessings, that system then begins to grow, and it uses sunlight as energy, photosynthesis. And the inputs of photosynthesis are carbon dioxide, water, and sunlight. And with those three inputs, each of which represents a pillar of life in the cosmos, by the way, with those three combined through the miracle of chlorophyll, which is the molecule that carries the energy around the plant and that looks green, by the way, then you have bioenergy in plants. And this bioenergy then synthesizes molecules, which are vitamins and nutrients, such as vitamin C. Or certain mushrooms generate vitamin D, which is an anti-cancer nutrient. Or some plants will synthesize carotenoids, which are typically fat-soluble antioxidants. And certain microalgae, such as Haematococcus, which is the microalgae that's used to grow astaxanthin. It produces astaxanthin, which is called the king of the carotenoids. It is a fat-soluble antioxidant that is incredibly potent and dense in its power. And wait till I tell you the story of why microalgae even create astaxanthin. It's actually a long-term solar shield so that they can go into hibernation for sometimes a century in deserts and places that have very little rainfall. And then when the rain comes one day, even 100 years later, they come back to life because they've been protected in their cocoon of astaxanthin that has protected them from radiation damage, from ionizing radiation of the sun. Yes, yes. And the value of astaxanthin is so great, or even let's say the value of resveratrol, like I said earlier, or the value of anthocyanins. You know, anthocyanins are, well, they're very potent nutrients that are often purple or dark blue, and they're found in eggplant, for example, or they're found in blue corn, or they're found in blueberries and blackberries and aronia berries, which grow in North America. And these are incredibly potent and valuable molecules that are known to do many, many things. They can protect against, by the way, spike protein fragments in your blood. So these help reduce spike protein latching itself onto your organs and receptor sites throughout your body. So anthocyanins are just really incredible. You can read up about them online. Just search for anthocyanins, C-Y-A-N-I-N-S. Now, anthocyanins, as with all the other molecules that we're talking about here in plants, they did not exist when you planted the seeds. They were created, they were synthesized by the plants. So back to your investment, you invested in planting some food, planting a little garden, planting some grapes, planting a fruit tree, whatever you planted. And then through the miracles of God, you got real compounding interest, not in mankind's synthetic accounting system based on scarcity and fraud and cheating you out of your money, but rather in God's economy, where you get more out than what you put in. You put in a little bit and God gives you a lot. God is the multiplier of abundance, and you see it in foods and natural medicines, and you see it in so many areas of your life. It is undeniable. So the upshot of all of this is, if you want to be truly wealthy in every way that wealth matters, then you need to operate in God's economy. If you want to live or die in poverty and scarcity and never having enough and always being ripped off and having your, quote, wealth stolen from you, then you can operate in man's economy, because that is the economy of thievery and deception. That's Satan's economy. The Western banking system, the Federal Reserve, the printing of the dollars, that's all satanic. It's rooted in deception and thievery and confiscating money from you in the realm of the IRS that says, how dare you keep what you earned? We're going to come take it from you. And then whatever you have left isn't going to be worth as much as it was anyway. So it's double theft, triple theft, theft on top of theft. That's man's economy. And if you are operating in man's economy, you will never be left with the things that you earned, because the job of the beast system is to take them from you in every way possible. But if you operate in God's economy, God wants you to have more, and God gives you the blessing to have more. And it's not an economy rooted in scarcity or hoarding or keeping everything for yourself. It's an economy based on recognizing the limitless abundance. And if you have limitless abundance, why wouldn't you share with others? Because whatever you have that you want to give to someone else who needs it, if you're operating in God's economy, there's more where that came from anyway. You're going to be blessed with more. You will always have more than what you need. And then you become a conduit for others, to help others who are not yet on board fully with God's economy, but maybe they need a sign of it, and you can be that sign. Okay, one more thought about God's economy is that when you're operating in God's economy and you are serving as a conduit of distributing resources, you are a steward, a temporary steward of resources to help others, to contribute to society, and so on. The mindset, the heart of what you're doing matters just as much as the actions. And I want to be very clear. You can't trick God with your actions. You don't want to approach this as if you're sort of buying favor with God to make up for past sins or whatever. Like, oh, in the past you did all these horrible things, but if you just give enough money to a church, then you're going to be all right with God. But you haven't really changed your lifestyle. You haven't really made amends. It's not really coming from the heart. It's just, you know, writing a check to try to buy your way out of sin. That does not work. And the reason it does not work is because not only does God see you, but you see you. You see what you're doing. You know. And your soul is imprinting all of this for eternity. And so if you don't live this, if you don't take it to heart and actually function within God's economy in a way that embodies the spirit of God's economy, then it doesn't really count. And so it's very important to experience the joy of giving. This was something that was taught to me at a very young age. I was very fortunate to be brought up by two very compassionate humanitarian parents who taught the joy of giving. And we experienced so much joy at Christmas time, for example, or birthday parties, being able to give to someone and just to see their eyes light up, like, wow, this is amazing. And it doesn't even need to be material, but just rather the recognition to that person that they matter, that you thought of them. As they say, the thought is what counts, not the gift itself. It's the fact that you cared enough to give. And I found this to be true throughout my whole life, that I take great joy in giving to people. And I don't have to fake it, and I don't have to always give in public. I don't have to have, you know, public credit for giving all the time. I mean, I've done a lot of giving that has been public. I've made donations that have been public and so on. Lots of donations of food and donating to food banks in the aftermath of hurricanes and floods and donating money in the aftermath of earthquakes and things like that. Over the years, we've done a lot from my various organizations. But there's a lot of giving that I've done in private that nobody will ever know about, and they don't have to. It's okay. Because it was the joy of giving and the joy of seeing in somebody else's eyes that they are valued. And often I like to give things that are practical. So I'm not the kind of person to give gifts that are cosmetic. I don't give like even a bottle of wine. That's just not me. You'll never see me show up with a bottle of wine. I give people things that are practical, things that they can use, things like emergency medicine for their pets, for example, or, you know, things that have gold in them, because I love the element of gold and what it represents, which is a store of value in God's economy. It's an expression of, you know, God's design of the universe. So I will give practical things to people, and they very often love that, but just as importantly, I love doing it. And I've consistently found over the years that even as I give away more and more, I am blessed with more and more things to give away. It's really extraordinary. There are times I'm actually overwhelmed with so much stuff, so many boxes of things that have been given my way, that have been donated to our organization, that I have to take my truck and pick them all up, and then it actually becomes a hassle. What do I do with all this stuff? And I start making lists of, you know, where to send it, what to do with it. And we've also found there are some difficulties of giving certain things to food banks, for example. Food banks don't like food that isn't processed food from regular food companies. So in our own organization, sometimes we have supplements or food to donate. And over the years, we found it very difficult to locate groups that would accept those donations. We did finally locate two groups, faith-based groups, that we have donated a tremendous amount, like pallets of supplements and superfoods. And of course, they have to be non-expired product, which they were. And they have to be accurately labeled, you know, proper food or supplement labeling and so on, which they were. But, you know, thank goodness that we found some groups that we could donate through for some of the pallet-sized donations. But for other things that are smaller than that, I'm often doing that locally and just handing things out to various people. And I really, really enjoy that. And I feel blessed to have that opportunity. Now, if you're not blessed with all kinds of incoming donations, that's fine. There are many other things that you can give to people. Like, think about Sprouts. You know, what an amazing gift to give somebody that costs almost nothing. Go buy a mason jar, get a sprouting lid for it, which you can buy online very inexpensively, and just take some broccoli seeds and put them in a little sandwich bag and, you know, write on it broccoli seeds and put the seeds with the bag in the jar and put the sprouting lid on top. And that's a gift to somebody. It's a medicine gift. You've given them the gift of sulforaphane and all the other amazing molecules that are found in broccoli sprouts. Or you could use alfalfa sprouts and give them the gift of, you know, chlorophyll or whatever. Different kinds of sprouts have different kinds of nutrients. But you can create sprouting kits for almost nothing and give them to people and have a conversation with them about God's economy. That, look, this costs you nothing and it's going to generate medicine for you, actual medicine in the food, in the herbs, medicine that you don't need a doctor's permission to take. You don't need a pharmacy. You don't need a prescription. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. You don't need a medical insurance card. You don't have to fill out paperwork. You don't have to pay health insurance. You just add water and it grows medicine for you and it multiplies the inputs because we're living in God's economy. It is a multiplier of abundance. And the more you can see this in the world around you and recognize how God's economy actually works, that it's built on multiplying, and it's built on limitless abundance, and it's built on creation. You know, the plant is creating the vitamin C. You know, the seed of an orange doesn't itself contain all the vitamin C that's going to be found in all the oranges. As the tree grows, it builds the vitamin C, and it does so for free, and it does so with limitless abundance. If we operate in that economy, it's transformative. Our lives are forever changed and forever improved. So I invite you to recognize how God's economy works and then also scrutinize more closely the fraud of man's economy. Most of us have been operating in man's economy our entire lives, and we think that dollars are money, and we think that banks pay us extra, and we think all these things that are not true. You've been deceived your entire life. Switch to God's economy, and you can start living a life of abundance. So those are my words of advice for today, is to be that sign that others need. Be that example of operating in God's economy. Share wherever you can, and give blessings to others as you have been blessed. Thank you for listening today. Mike Adams here. There are many more sermons yet to come, so wherever you found this sermon, go there and listen to all the rest, because they all share similar words of wisdom. God bless you all. Take care.